Mr. Han had asked me, had I preached in Ballymoney before? Well, I have preached in the old building. And I was just saying to him, as my wife and I were driving up the road, I can remember as if it was yesterday, coming up the road, parking the car at the church, and going to the hall with the Reverend John Hanna for my first day in the hall. And you know, it just seems like yesterday. And yet I've through the hall and 30 years ministry. And it's just a blink. Just a blink. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time for each one of us to make sure that it's well with our soul. And I rejoice in those days. And there's sometimes regrets that the pastoral ministry is over. And yet I thank God for men like Mr. Park and others who give me the opportunity to come and preach the word. And it's greatly appreciated. So we've come today with God's word, and we're going to ask his help as we turn to his word. And Father, we thank thee for this book. There's none like it. It's like the sword of Goliath, and David said, give me it. There's none like it. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us today to do justice to thy word, that we might be faithful to thy word, that we might be faithful to the hearts of men and women as we proclaim it, that we might be faithful to thee, Lord, because it's not really of any consequences what I say if it's not in accordance with God's word. But Lord, if it is, then we need to take heed. And we pray for the hearing ear and the understanding heart. And we ask, Lord, for liberty today, for the infilling of thy Holy Spirit, that I might be a channel of blessing. O God, may thy name be glorified in all that will be said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My text this morning is found in verse 11 of Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I titled my message this morning, The Best Book, because that's what the Bible is. And the theme of Psalm 119, of course, is the Word of God. Practically every verse, there's some reference or other to God's Word. The psalmist describes the Word of God in various ways. He terms it the law of the Lord. He calls it the testimonies of the Lord, his precepts, his statutes, his commandments, and his judgment. And all these are gathered up together in the words of our text. Now, we learn from reading the psalm, not only Psalm 119, but David's psalms, those that he penned, we learn that it was evident that David had a great love for the Lord. He had a great love for God's word. And he had a great desire and longing to please the Lord. And he realized the only way that he could please the Lord was by living his life in accordance with the word of God. And that's the only way you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can please the Lord, is to keep his commandments, is to follow his precepts, is to honor his word. David had a desire to live a holy and a God-glorifying life. That should be the desire of every believer. Do we not long to please God and to live a Christ-like life? Because that's the purpose of our salvation. When you turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, read in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." That we should be holy and without blame. He has called us to serve him. He has called us to live lives that will glorify the Lord. And how do we live such lives? Well, the Bible has the answer. And we want to just look at three things this morning concerning the Word of God, we're going to look at, first of all, the best book, our publication, if you want to keep it in peace, the best place, the best purpose. And we want to look, first of all, at the best book. Now, the best of books is described as Thy Word. That's what we have in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. There are many wonderful books in the world. There's books of history. There's biographies of great men and women. There are commentaries on the Bible. There's many wonderful books. There's a lot of books that are not so wonderful. But this Word is the best. It's unique. It's supreme. And why is the Bible the best book? Why is the Bible the book that we all should have in our home? Why is the Bible the book that we should always be in? Well, first of all, because of its source. It comes from God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. And these two words indicate the divine origin of the book. God is the author. Yes, somewhere around 40 men actually wrote the words that you and I read when we come to the Bible. And it was written over a period of some 1600 years. But God was in control of all that they wrote. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 1:20 to 21. Knowing this first, that's where we start. And when you and I come to God's work, we need to know that this is God's Word. And this is where we start, even for salvation, for living and for serving the Lord. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That word could be translated origination. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's breath. This is God's Word. It's God's truth. And so we can come confidently knowing when we open the Bible that we are opening the Word of God. And because God is the author, this is the best of books because of its stability. This Bible is right up to date, although written centuries ago. It's right up to date. You lift yesterday's newspaper. It's out of date, isn't it? You don't want to lift yesterday's newspaper to hear the news. You can open the Bible and it's right up to date. And it's even telling us of things that are yet to come. And it sets them out on many occasions in detail. Things that are surely to come to pass. This Bible is right up to date. This is a very remarkable thing because men's writings are always in need of revision, aren't they? And they bring out more editions and they revise their books. But God's book was given once. This is God's revelation to man. There's nothing to be added to or taken from the Word of God. In the Psalm we were reading, 119 and the verse 89, we read, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. When God finished writing His Word, that was it. Nothing to be added to, nothing to be taken away. Thus, because God is the author, what can we say about the Bible? It's authoritative, it's reliable, it's accurate, it's invisible or infallible. It's inerrant. And the Psalm said in 140 of this, verse 140 of this Psalm, Thy Word is very pure. Oh, we can read God's Word and imbibe it and trust it and apply it to our hearts. It's pure, it's infallible, it's inerrant. It's God's Word. No matter what the skeptics and haters of the Bible say, this is God's Word. And God has given this revelation unto His church. It's the best of books because of its sufficiency. The Westminster Confession of says the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and the duty that God requires of man. Everything that you and I need to know about God is in this book. There might be a multitude of things that we don't know, but what we do know and what God wants us to know is in this book. How should I live my life? How do I know where to go to, where not to go to? The things to do, the things not to do. And that's questions that many young believers will ask. Can I go there? Can I do the other thing? It's here in the Bible. And it's sufficient for our daily life and to live the life that God would have us to live. It contains everything we need for faith and practice. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And so we stick by the Word of God. Thank God for churches, and we think particularly of our own denomination, that stands firm on the Word of God. It's thus and thus saith the Lord. And if anybody preaches any other gospel, anything that's not in this Word, then we can forget it. But I know from this pulpit week after week, and it has always been the same since the first door was opened, that God's Word has been honoured and glorified in this church. Everything that we need for faith and practice, what we believe and what we are to do, our behaviour will be according to what we believe. And if you believe that we came from monkeys and other things, that's the way you'll behave. And that's the way society is behaving today, like wild animals, because they believe the evolutionary lie. But if you and I believe that God is, if we believe that God has given us His Word, then we can live our lives according to this Word, and we'll live lives that are pleasing unto God. Not only pleasing unto God, but will be of benefit to society, benefit to our families, benefit to our communities. Our behavior will be according to what we believe. And therefore, believers should be known. It should be known of what they believe by what they say and by what they do. There is no demand that has made us in this life, but we shall find help, guidance, and wisdom in this best of books. Young people starting out in life. This time of year, many are getting their A-level results, their GCSEs and all the rest of it. Used to be O-levels. But it's all up now, isn't it? And they're wondering, what shall I do? What direction? Well, if you know and love the Lord, then just get the book out and get before the Lord. And the Lord has said in His Word, Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's where we begin. That's where we come as a sinner. We trust in the Lord as our Savior. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sure guidance. And isn't that what we desire for our children? Isn't that what our children desire, to be guided in the way they should go with God's Word? And there's in it that which will guide us in our life. Trust in Him. Don't lean to your own understanding. How often we fail and how often we get into difficulties because it's my way and it's what I want to do. Instead of waiting upon the Lord and ascertaining His will. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In other words, take the Lord into account in everything. Now, sometimes you and I are so foolish as to say, well, I really don't need to take that to the Lord. I mean, I can handle that all right. That's a very small thing. And molehills have a habit of becoming mountains, don't they? Very simply, because we didn't take it to the Lord in prayer. We didn't take Him into account. And when you and I take God into account, we're acknowledging Him. We're glorifying Him. We're saying in the heart, Lord, I can't do anything without Thee. And that's exactly it, isn't it? We can do nothing apart from the Lord, but we acknowledge Him. Take the Lord into account. Our business, our recreation, our friends, our travels, whatever, take the Lord into the account. Take the Lord into account. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's God's book. It's the best book. Tragically, governments and society have jettisoned God's word. They know better than God. They have a better way of doing things. And what have we got? We've got chaos. We've got chaos, even in this wee beloved province of ours. There's not a thing that we put our hand to, but we're making a mess of it. It's not right. Our education and everything else. Our hospitals. Because they've said no God. And once you take God out of the equation, what have you got? You've got chaos. And it's one of the greatest judgments upon any land. When God says, all right, you don't want me, you don't want my word, right, I'll leave you to it. And man left to himself will make a mess. And that's what's happening. And we need to back to the Bible movement. Back to God's word. Back to basics. Back to the word of God. It's the best book. It's the only book. Really. To teach us in the way we should go. And how we can please Him. It's God's book. And then the psalmist tells us not only about the best book, but where he hid this book. It says in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Not in a cupboard or a drawer or an old trunk. And sometimes, you know, people get this foolish notion that they have to so look after the word of God that they don't open it. It's not right. And they're very proud to bring it out and say, it's just like new. Now, I'm not a saying to abuse God's word, but God's word's there to be used. And you know a man or a woman that is using God's word. And I can think back. And my mother-in-law was a godly woman. And she had a Bible, I think it's a Thompson Chain. And you know that Bible is well worn. It's well thumbed over, it's well written on. We thoughts and promises and all the rest of it. The Bible's there to be used, to be read. He kept it in his heart. That implies that the psalmist placed the Word of God at the very center of his life. This was his spiritual food. This was his necessary food. If he was going to please the Lord, if he was going to walk in his, then he was going to come to God's Word. That poses a question. How can we hide the Word of God in our hearts? Well, there are several things we must do if we're to hide the Word of God in our heart. First of all, we must treasure it. We must love the Word. If you told your wife or your husband that you loved them with all your heart, but you never talked to them, or you never looked at them for a week, I would think you would say, well, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong with their affections. Isn't that right? And sometimes, you know, people can go a week, maybe a fortnight, and the word hasn't been opened. And sometimes, you know, when we come to church, we say we love to hear the word of God, but some people are happy enough with once in the Lord's day, and you don't see them till the next week. We should treasure the word. Treasure the word. Notice what the psalmist said in verse 62 of this psalm. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. And in verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. That's how he treasured it. It was better to him than gold and silver. Now, David wasn't short of those things. But those things were as nothing to him because David realized they were only things. They were only material things. They couldn't bless him. And you could have all the riches of this world and be the most unhappy person. But he delighted in the word of the Lord. And Job said in chapter 23 and verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Not more than the wee bits in between. Now you just think of it a moment. If Job delighted in God's word more than his necessary food, that food that would keep body and soul together. And you know, some of us could do without the in-betweens and just leave it at the necessary foods. But we do need to eat, keep body and soul together to live. But for Job, he desired God's word more than that. He treasured God's word so much. And he said, I love it so much, even if I don't have my lunch today or tomorrow, I've got God's word. He treasured it. Do we treasure God's word like that? Do we treasure it like Jeremiah said, as one that has found great spoil? What a treasure. You know, I've heard men and women who have come to Christ and have come from very poor backgrounds and all the rest of it, and when they come to the Word of God, it's just like a breath of heaven. It's just as if someone had given them £1 million to have the Word of God. And maybe that was our attitude when we got saved at first, but you know how it is. Brother, you know, I'm so busy now in the business, you really don't understand. Well, remember the late Reverend John Wiley saying one time, you know, he said it with him by prayer, but it could be used with the Word of God. Brother, if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. And brother, if you're too busy to get God's Word out and read it and study it, you're too busy. And how often it is that we go through the day and somehow or other things are not working out. The wheels are coming off, aren't they? And oh, this would do your head in an hour thing. And why? Why is it? I didn't give God his time in the morning. I didn't take time around God's word. I didn't take time to pray. I neglected it. God's word. And Job said, I esteemed it more than my necessary food. We need to treasure it. It must have priority in our daily lives. We must take it in our hand. We must have a copy of the Word of God. We must have a good translation. The Authorized Version is the best translation. And, you know, sometimes I've heard people reading from modern translations and there's maybe a particular word, and I say to myself, well, you know, that's no better than the words in the Authorized. In fact, the Authorized Word is better than that. So we need to have a good copy of the Word of God. We need to get it into our heads. How do we get it into our heads and into our hearts? Study it. Memorize it. And this is one of the great arguments. There's many for sticking to the Authorized Version. From Sunday school, from the mother's knee, you've memorized the Word of God. The Authorized Version lends itself to memorization. I can remember the first lessons, really, or Bible verses that I memorized was in day school. John 15 and portions like that. Psalm 23. And it lends itself to memorization. Some of these modern translations, like reading the newspaper, and you try and memorize a column in the newspaper, it's very difficult. So we need to get it into our hand, we need to get it into our head, and we need to do what the psalmist did here. He said in verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Come to the Word of God, and sometimes people say, brother, I don't seem to really get anything out of it. Well, you only get out of something that what you put into it. And we need to put the time in. And we need to put the effort in. But here's a great thing. Open thou mine eyes, Lord. I'm coming to thy word. Help me to behold wondrous things out of thy word. Jeremiah said, or the Lord said to Jeremiah, that he would show him great and mighty things. Well, I wonder where he would show Jeremiah the great and mighty things. Well, things that would happen certainly in his life, but surely in the word of God. Isn't that where we want to see the mighty things? Isn't it tremendous when some Bible teacher comes along and, you know, they open up a passage of the word of God and you say to yourself, why did I not see that? Because you didn't do what he did. He got before the Lord and he took time and spent time in the word. And then God will show us the mighty things. Mighty things. And I don't think I'm wrong or I'm misquoting him. But I remember the Reverend Cairns saying to us in the hall one time, the greatest blessing, the first great blessing that he received was when he was reading about the furniture in the tabernacle, and he read about the mercy seat and the covering of the mercy seat above the ark, and it fitted exactly over the ark, which contained the commandments, the broken law. And he said he saw from God how that the mercy seat in Christ, we escaped the law. He's our mercy seat. We're saved in him. And he said it just came like a flash of lightning. And so it is. We enjoy listening to preaching and the preaching of the word. It's mighty. But there's nothing to compare with the Lord revealing to you something to yourself as you're reading the word of God. I tell you, all the tea in China, all the gold in this world wouldn't start to compare. It's like I'm saved all over again. God just revealing something to you, just like the light switching on and then into our hearts. That's the most important place. Meditating upon it, memorizing it, going over it through the day, thinking of what was it I was reading this morning, and maybe there's a verse there, and you should always grab a verse in your Bible reading, and something that will keep you going through the day, and you can memorize it, and that's the way to get it into our hearts. Treasure it. Get a good copy. Get it into our heart. Pray over it. And then the psalmist comes to the best of purpose, and our time is going quickly. That I might not sin against thee. It's not why we come to the word of God. We come to learn about God and the things of God and how to please the Lord. And you and I will not please the Lord if we're living lives that are punctuated by sin. And we come to God's word, and we imbibe God's word, and we learn God's word, and we study God's word, that I might not sin against thee. The word of God hidden in our heart has a sanctifying effect in our lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his great high priestly prayer, prayed these words, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Separate them unto thyself. That's what the word sanctifying means, to separate. What will distinguish the people of God from the world? They're a holy people. And how do they become a holy people? By the Spirit of God, applying the word of God to their hearts and living that out in their lives. Holy people. A separated people unto the Lord. How does the Bible produce this sanctifying effect in us? It causes us to recognize sin, that I might not sin against thee. Now, we've all got consciences that tell us right from wrong, but we've something better than that. We've got the Word of God. And you know, it's so funny, if it wasn't so tragic. You hear commentators and others in the radio and the television, and they're tearing their hands. And how can we teach our boys and girls right from wrong? Well, you have the answer. But you threw it out. You didn't want to know. It's there. It's in the Bible. Wouldn't it be a great thing if all our children in the home, in our schools, in society, was taught the Ten Commandments, was taught the Word of God. What a difference. What a difference. And because there's not that interest in the Word of God, because there's the rejecting of that Word of God, then, oh, sin is rampant, isn't it? I don't have to tell you that. It causes us to recognize sin. Our tendency is to excuse sin. But someone once said, this book, the Bible, will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. The Bible exposes our sin. You read of the great men and women in the Bible. It doesn't gloss over their lives. It just tells it as it was, warts and all, and their sins. It makes us hate sin. You hate sin because God hates it. It's not the essence of being a Christian. We love what God loves and we hate what God hates. Sometimes we give things leeway in our life. We give them room when we should be shutting them out. Come to God's Word. We'll learn there what's right and what's wrong. What we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. What we should be saying and what we shouldn't be saying. It leads us to turn from sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do we get victory over bad habits? How do we get victory over besetting sins? By coming to God's word, letting the word of God dwell in us richly, living it out in our lives. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. The Bible tells us that. There is forgiveness of sins, the Bible tells us. And then finally it points us to the one who has made an end of all our sin. It reveals Christ. And no matter where you go to in this book, you'll find Christ. If you look for him, he's there. From Genesis right through to Revelation, Christ is in all the scriptures. Remember when John was baptizing at Jordan and the Lord Jesus Christ was approaching and he cried out, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here's the great antitype. Here's the fulfillment of all the types and shadows and pictures of the New Testament. Here is God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you and I can never know enough about him. And if you and I want to know more and more about Jesus, then we have to read about him. And we have to talk with him. Bible reading and prayer. How do you get to know somebody in a new school or a new employment? You talk to them. You talk to them. You have conversation with them. How do I get to know the Lord? I talk to him in prayer. I come to his word. I read about him. I learn about him. And then you begin to love him more and more. It's a wonderful book. It's the best book. And the best place to have it is in our heart. You ever think of the time that comes when strong persecution and maybe the authorities will do away with the word of God? What a tragedy if we haven't hid it in our hearts, if we haven't memorized portions of the Word of God. And it's for the best purpose, that I might not sin against thee. Lord, make us men and women of the Bible. May the Lord bless his Word to our hearts.